Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
What a great spirit is in this place. I love the praise and the worship. Thank you, Lito, and the Pure Heart Praise Band. They've done a tremendous, tremendous job. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to direct your thoughts to Joshua, the book of Joshua. We're going to leave the books that were authored by Moses, the first five books, if you didn't know that. First five books of the Bible were authored by Moses. And then we get into the first book after that, which is the book of Joshua. And I want to talk to you today a little bit about how to confront your fears by growing your faith. If you want to be a productive member of the kingdom of God, you're going to need faith. Faith. And more faith. It all begins with faith. It all is maintained by faith. It all ends with faith. And if you remember what the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So it begins, is sustained, and it ends with our Lord Jesus Christ. But the question always comes, how can I exercise my faith? How do I grow my faith? The Bible says that God has given to every person a measure of faith. It says in the Bible that he's placed eternity into the hearts of every man. Nobody is born an atheist. No one. Everyone is born with a measure of faith. And think of it this way. Everybody has a seed of faith that you're born with. Now it's up to us to cultivate that seed. It's up to us to nurture that seed. It's up to us to water that seed and to fertilize that seed to make sure that it's not just a measure of faith that we have, but that in fact that it becomes a vibrant, living, and strong faith. And so faith comes, okay, you nurture your faith by hearing God's word, right? We all know that. The Bible says that in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So one of the very best things that you can do for your faith life is listen to the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Subject yourself to preaching and teaching and writings and articles that focus on the Word of God. And just by you listening to that, that's going to stimulate your faith. That's going to grow your faith. Now, the second part is, you know, we all say amen to that. The second part is one that we don't like, but it's true nonetheless. The second way that faith is developed or that we exercise our faith is by the testing of our faith, right? In order for faith to grow, in order for faith to mature, all right, it needs to confront circumstances in which it is exercised. Right? In other words, in your faith, in order for it to grow, needs to be challenged. When you go to the gym, you can bench press 10 pounds. But you don't want to stay in 10 pounds forever. Right? You need to take that thing off, put it down a couple notches. And you need to what? You need to put some energy and some effort. And faith works the same way. You want your faith to grow. You have to exercise and you have to stretch that faith. And that stretching, okay, that stretching comes for us through the different circumstances and challenges that we face in which we need to put our faith into action. Right. So faith comes by it being tested. And every test that you encounter, every problem, every crisis, every trauma, every tribulation, every trial, it could be all that I just mentioned, but if you look at it this way, every one of those things could be an opportunity for your faith to be stretched and grow. Right? Now, this week, all the eyes of all the sports aficionados around this country will be directed towards the NFL because this is supposedly week one of the NFL, right? And each team begins their season with great anticipation. Even though we know that our beloved Dolphins are tanking, none of the players will admit that. Why? Because every single one of those guys that takes the field believing that they can beat their opponent, right? And they have the confidence to do so. And so what they're going to do is not just the Dolphins, but every team in general, okay? They're all going to approach the season. They're going to look at the season. They're going to play it out in hopes of getting to that final game, right? The championship game. And what's going to happen is that throughout the year, okay, throughout the year or throughout the season, better said, okay, they're going to prepare themselves. And how do they prepare themselves? They're going to prepare themselves a lot of different ways. They're going to be conditioned. They're going to go through drills. They're going to go through practices. They're going to sit in the game room or the film room, and they're going to dissect, okay, their opponent. They're going to dissect what they've done wrong in the previous year or the previous game and so forth and so on. And so their practice and their preparation, okay, all of it is going to come together on the next game day. And in the game day, they're going to approach the field. It doesn't matter if they're facing the Super Bowl champions and they were 0-16 last year. They're going in there with the assurance that we're gonna beat them, right? But it's not just enough. It's not just enough to believe that, right? You got to play the game. And so everything that you've done up until this point, you have to put it into practice, right? And as you put it into practice, okay, you're going to face the challenges that are going to determine. And it's not until the game is done, it's not until the final whistle blows, that a winner is going to be announced, right? And that winner is announced. And when that winner emerges, why? Because of all the prep work that they've done prior to, right? And so in order to win, you have to play the game. It's the same for us. In order to win, you have to face adversity. In order for us to win, you got to face the opponent, right? Faith doesn't come by studying the tape only, right? You read the Word of God, and the Bible says that by reading the Word of God, you get faith, and your faith grows. But that's not the only way in which faith grows. You have to play the game. And it's not just by studying the rule books or the guidebooks or the game plan. Real faith is formed and is forged, what? As you face the challenges to your faith. Those challenges to your faith become opportunities. It's a mistake to think that if you have faith, then you're going to have a problem-free life. In fact, one of the reasons we have challenges, okay, one of the reasons we have problems and trials is just so your faith can grow, so your faith can develop, right? In our story today, in our text today, our event, Joshua is getting ready to enter into the promised land. After 40 years, praise the Lord. I could almost feel like a sigh of relief. 40 years, man, been waiting for this, right? But like many, he's probably thinking, a lot of things are probably crossing his mind, right? He's probably thinking, as I get ready to finally achieve what God promised us 40 years earlier, okay, he's probably thinking of things like, can I lead these people? Moses, you know, my pastor, he would say, man, he was a great leader. Can I follow in his footsteps? Can I successfully invade this land? Will, you know, will the people that I'm leading, will they cooperate? Or are they going to rebel like their fathers did and bring us right back to where we were, right? Am I going to face, when I get in there, am I going to face strong opposition? Or okay, will lives be lost? What's it going to take to conquer this promised land? And, you know, all the questions that Joshua had probably, and I would imagine, because none of those questions really rise up in the narrative or in the text, but I think that those are natural questions that we all would have asked ourselves should we be in a similar situation. And probably you ask yourself a question that's similar to that, right? Or questions that are similar to that. Maybe, you know, it's human nature to have doubts and to have uncertainties cross your mind. Will I be able to get this job? Will I be let go now that the company has said that they got to let go 20% of their base? Right? Will I lose my house? Some of you last week or a week and a half, you know, 8 days ago, you were wondering, can my house sustain a Hurricane Dorian? Because you really weren't sure. Right. Well, you know, some of you ask questions like, will I be able to recover from this sickness? Will I be set free from this fear? Will I ever get over my depression, my panic attacks, my anxiety? Will I ever get through the trauma of the abuse that I faced, or the accident that I went through, or whatever, the scars of war? Should I have been in war? Can my marriage be saved? So what am I saying? I'm just proposing all kinds of questions that perhaps crossed my mind when we're faced with real challenges. Life has real challenges. And understand this, please understand this, that as I make a commitment to become a person of faith, all right, faith is only going to come as a result of me confronting these challenges. And maybe you're here today and you're not really interested in growing in your faith. It doesn't matter, because those challenges are going to come to you one way or another. Right? They're going to come to you whether you want to grow in your faith or whether you don't want to grow in your faith. The choice that you have to make is, am I going to use the circumstances to become an instrument to my growth, or will it become an instrument towards my death? And what I mean by death is, you and I all know people that through the battles of life, they become hardened, they become cynical, okay, they become sarcastic because of all the things that they've encountered in their life. What's the difference between someone like that and someone that faces life with joy and faces life with peace, even though they've gone through the same exact circumstances? The difference is in the choice that they made. One decided to nurture their faith. The other one decided to discard their faith, right? And so like Joshua, we're going to be faced with decisions to make about the things that we've never experienced before. You know, in our lives, there are stages that we go through, right? And every stage, there's something new that you've never faced before. In the Bahamas, they're facing something that they've never faced before, right? Joshua is at the edge of the Jordan River, about to cross, and he's about to lead people into a place that he's been there because he was one of the original spies, but he doesn't know how it's all going to go down, right? And so sometimes with us, it's the same thing. We're going to be put in a situation that we're not accustomed to. How are you going to face that? You're going to be asked to assume a role like Joshua was, all right, that you've never done before. You're going to now lead these people. Some of you, by the way, that are here in church, you've been in church for dozens and dozens of years. You need to be leading some people. Right? And so you're going to be taken to places that you've never gone before. And all these things are going to do what? The purpose is to stretch your faith. Now, so how do you maintain? How do you grow your faith, okay, through these challenges? Let's pick up Joshua chapter 1 for a moment. We're going to read a few verses from starting from verse 1. It says, now the death of the Lord's servant Moses. After the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord said to Moses' helper Joshua, says, my servant Moses is dead, so you and all these people get up and cross the Jordan River to the land I am giving to the people of Israel. Josh, it's up to you. I have given you every place where the bottom of your foot steps. As I promised Moses, jump over to verse 5. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will be with you just as I had been with Moses. I will be faithful to you, and I will leave, and I will not leave you alone. Verse 6, be strong and have strength of heart. Some of your translations say, be strong and very courageous, right? For you will bring the people in to take this land which I promised to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and have much strength of heart. Be careful, it says in the second part of verse 7, be careful to obey all the law which my servant Moses told you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Then all will go well with you everywhere you go. This book of the law must not leave your mouth. Think about it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything or all that is written in it. Then all will go well with you. You will receive many good things. How many of you guys want good things? You know what to do? Okay. And it says here in verse 9, it says, have I not told you, be strong and have strength of heart. Do not be afraid. Do not lose faith, he says to them. Look at the person next to you. Don't lose faith. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, or anywhere that you go. So we have Joshua, Moses' successor, a protege, if you will, that he's going to lead people into the promised land. Now, what is the promised land? Literally, the promised land is the land of Israel. Right? But for the believer, the promised land is symbolic of something. Promised land is represents successful Christian living. Or victorious living. If you look in the dictionary, right after the literal meaning of the word promised land, the dictionary defines it as a longed for place where complete satisfaction and happiness will be achieved. A place that I long for. A place that I desire. A place that I have a vision of. That when I get there, I'm going to be completely fulfilled. Right? Dr. Martin Luther King said it this way: I have seen the promised land. He says, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get there. What was he talking about? A preferred future. A preferred future where there will be complete happiness, where there will be complete integration. In the way he was thinking of equality, okay, in the terms of what was the racial challenges back then, right? He says, I may not get there with you, all right? But we're going to get to the promised land. So Joshua is the original. Some people would say he's the OG. The guy from which everything starts, right? And from him we're going to learn, or we learn, how we to develop our faith, right? How we develop our faith, or how we grow our faith in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of different ordeals. And one of the things that always stands up in the narrative that we read is how many times God tells Joshua that he has to be courageous. Right? So let's take that as point number one. Point number one, if you want to grow in your faith, you have to face your fears with courage. Courage. Look at the person next to you, you got to be courageous. Now, you remember something. You remember something about Joshua. We talked about Joshua last week. Okay, Joshua was one of the original spies, the 12 spies, right? Him along with Caleb, and then 10 other tribal leaders went out, and they spied out for 40 days. They spied on the very land that he's about to make entry into, right? And all of them, okay, and so all of them saw the same land. They all saw the same fruit. They all saw the same housing. They all saw the same structures and fortresses. They all saw the same giants. But only Caleb and Joshua says, those guys are more afraid of us than we are of them. Okay? Only Joshua and Caleb were the ones that were permitted entry into the promised land, because all 10 of the spies said, we can't. And it says they spread this negative report. It affected the entire generation that was with them. And God was so upset with them. He says, none of the people that have disrespected me with unbelief are going to see the promised land. The new generation, their sons, their daughters will, but the original guys, you're not. Why? Because it is the ultimate insult to God to not believe him. So you have two people that are left over. Two people that were allowed a special grace, Joshua and Caleb. And they were allowed into the promised land. Why? Because they maintained faith. Right? And if you remember the words of Caleb, okay, Caleb says, let's take them right now. We can take them. Courage. Courage. Right? See, these men, they saw the enemy as an opposing force, but Joshua and Caleb says, listen, they're helpless against us. That's a difference, see? Faith speaks differently, right? But faith is not simply believing. Faith has actions. Right? Faith is not simply saying that what God says is true. Faith is acting on what God says because it is true, right? So they're acting on what God says. And it took courage for Joshua and Caleb, think about this, for them to stand against the entire Israelite nation. They, along with Moses, God we're not going to talk about him, but at this point. But the only two that were considered faithful were Joshua and Caleb, right? And they, now this is important, because when we talk about you being courageous and courage is being a necessary component of faith, okay, we live in a society where having faith is being in the minority, and nobody wants to be in the minority. If you could just Google, peer pressure experiments, you could see countless experiments that are done that people do things that they don't even believe, but simply because what? Because they don't want to rock the boat. Because they don't want to go against the prevailing opinion of the day. Right? And in fact, I was reading one that I was very, very surprised by, very interested in. One that was done, it was reported in, it's called the bystander effect, done way back in the 1960s by John Darley. He was, I believe he was a psychologist out of Yale. And the experiment was done where they had a woman that was an actor, actress, and she pretended to be in great distress. Right. And what they did is that they had her be in great distress in a room where there was just maybe one person alone. That one person, he was part of the experiment. They want to see how he would respond. And what they noticed is that every time the woman was in distress, okay, if it was one or two people, that somebody would come to her aid. But the larger the crowd grew in the room, the less they were apt to tend to her when she acted like she was in distress. In other words, the bigger the crowd became, the less help the woman got. Isn't that interesting? Right? So, and what they came up to look at, in fact, the article was called the bystander effect, because what it suggested was that the larger the group became, the more people were cognizant of what other people thought. And the less apt they were to render aid or to render help. And you guys have seen it. I mean, we've seen news stories and articles where people, you see someone that's hurting and the people pass right by them. Okay, you heard the report of the guy that died in his car, and he was in his car for like 4 days. People saw, nobody want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. Why? Because nobody else is. Not necessarily because you're heartless, not necessarily because you don't care, you just don't think it's socially acceptable, and to be socially accepted is so important, right? And that's what this, that's what these experiments, they suggest, right? That they suggest that the crowd often is the one that veers our disciplines, our behavior. But I want to tell you that if you have faith, you're not going to be in the majority. And if you have faith, you need to have courage. Courage what? Courage to understand I'm not going to be in the majority. And so people are going to look at me wrong. People are going to mischaracterize me. People are going to make fun of me. People might even ridicule me because of my faith. And in order to be able to withstand the bombardment of ridicule and being made fun of and being called names, I have to have what? Not just faith. I need to have courage. I need to have courage, right? That's why I'm saying that courage is a necessary component of faith, right? You cannot allow your fear of other people's opinions influence what you do, right? You see, it takes courage to share your faith even though other people are going to reject it, right? It takes courage to do what's right when nobody around you values what doing right is. Okay? It takes courage to walk away from an abusive relationship, knowing that now you're going to be by yourself and perhaps even have to go to a shelter. It takes courage to do that. But courage is a necessary part of faith, right? Faith cannot operate in the absence of courage. Now, courage is not fearlessness. Courage is not saying, man, I'm not afraid of him. Courage is basically confronting, okay? Courage is acting even though you may have a few apprehensions, right? It understands. And listen, there may be some consequences, but I'm willing to accept the consequences, right? What I'm not going to accept is compromise. Okay, what I won't do is shrink back. I'm going to fight. But even if I lose, I'm going to get a few licks in. They're going to remember my name. Right? And I love the way that God encourages Joshua, because listen to what he's telling him. He tells him on three occasions, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And in a way, okay, what God is telling Joshua is, Josh, your issue is not a faith issue. Your issue is going to be an issue of courage. It's going to be an issue of valor. Because that's what reveals your faith. Right? He had to face those challenges, right? And at this point where we are now, they're at the shore of the Jordan. Now, listen, now is the time to not shrink back. Now is the time that he had to act. He had to show us, you know, he had to show a strong heart. Now is not the time. Can we just vent a little bit? Now was not a time for him to walk and for him to walk around and for him to just tell people how he's feeling. And let me tell you about my feelings. And let me tell you what let me tell you about my fears. And let me tell you about my uncertainties. Now is not the time to do it. There may be a time where you need to do that. There may be a time where that's even therapeutic for you to do that. But there's going to come a time where you need to act, and you need to put all those things away, and you need to act on what's right here and what's right now, right? You have to be strong. Okay. Now is not the time to talk about the challenges or the pain that you've been through. And, oh, woe is me. And I've been through a struggle. And the struggle is real. And, you know, and the betrayal that I had. And the feelings that I had. And how tired I am. And how much I worked. Listen, forget about that. Suck it up, buttercup. There are times for all that. But now is the time to be strong. Right now is the time that you got to bite your lip. Now is the time, like it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand true to the Lord and keep on acting like men. Woo. Be a man. I'll be a woman, I guess, if you're a woman. But man up. Man up, be strong in your faith, right? Okay, I can't tell you about my problems, because if I keep telling you about my problems are gonna sink me. I'm going to want to go home. I'm going to want to shrink into a fetal position and just die. Now is not the time for that. I don't have time for that right now. I have to confide in God alone. I have to look towards God as my resource, as my strong tower, as my fortress, as my rescuer, right? I have to be strong. Look at the person next to you, say, you got to be strong. That means that when you feel like falling apart, you cannot. Permission to go back, sir. Permission denied. Permission to backslide, denied. Permission to lose faith, denied. Right? When I feel like throwing in the towel, you can't. You won't. Because now's the time that I got to show courage. Right? And so what happened is that I have a miracle right there. But to attain the miracle, I got to persevere. Persevere in faith that translates into courage, right? I have to have courage, right? And look at the second thing. The second point is that not just am I going to add courage to my faith, but one of the necessary components of having courage is that I have to forget everything in my past. I don't mean everything. Let me just rephrase that. Not everything. Hopefully you don't forget everything. Right? But I got to forget those negative events in my past that might shape me to stay where I am right now and not go forward. Right? It says in Joshua 3, jump over to chapter 3 for a moment. We're going to jump back to chapter 1 momentarily. But it says in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. We have to keep moving forward. You can't stay camping out at Acacia Grove. Acacia Grove, my understanding was that it was a pleasant place filled with acacia groves. Okay, what a unique name. Acacia Grove. Okay, so they were there. They were happy. Okay, they got used to it there. And now they got to keep moving forward. All right, but listen, if you want to attain something better, you have to move from where you are right now. You can't stay where you are right now, because if you stay where you are right now, you and I will stagnate, right? And the one thing that keeps us from moving forward, okay, is that we get stuck in our past. and we look at our past failures. And we look at how many times we attempted it and it never came to pass. And we look at how many times, you know, we've made decisions that we still regret to this day, right? And we live with regret. If only I had done this. If only I had done that. If I could have told this person what I really felt, before they died. If I would have tried a little harder. If I hadn't been abused. If I hadn't been molested. Everything would be so much different. So what do you do? You're still living in the past, and you're still allowing the past to dictate your future, right? But listen, your past does not determine your future. Unless you refuse to move forward and you decide to stay there. Right? So think about it for a moment. 40 years, right? 40 years in the wilderness, and now is the time for them to move on. Right? They settled in a place. Right now they're settled in a place called the Acacia Groves. Pleasant place. Who wants to move? We settled in, man. We're so happy. We know where the water is to get water. We know where the wood is to make fire. We know, man, we don't want to move from here, right? And so they settled into a comfortable spot. Let me tell you, sometimes your comfort is your worst enemy from achieving what God has for you, right? Because they had to leave the comfort of the known in order to see, taste and see that God was good, right? And so they had to get to a place where they had to forget their past failures, all right? They had to get to a place where they had to forget their past unbelief, okay? Listen, you may be here today and you may be still wallowing in the failure of your past. You need to let that go. Or you may be here today and you look at yourself not as someone who's failed, but as someone who's been failed. Somebody that rejected you, somebody that denied you, somebody that molested you, somebody that did, you know, great harm to you. You need to let that go. Because as long as you do not let that go, you will not, listen, you will not pass go. You will not collect $200. You got to let it go. Look at the person that you got to let it go. Right? And so what releases us from our past is what? Is faith. Right? Is faith in, I have to believe that God doesn't want me to stay here. As comfortable as that might be, as pleasant as that might be, and not always because it's more comfortable. For us, it's comfortable because it's what I know. See, you can get used to living in poverty and living with pain and living in suffering where the possibility of something better, it just doesn't enter your mind. No. Why? Because the fear of something I don't know is greater than the comfort of something that I do know, even though what I do know is inferior to what God wants me to know in the future. Right? So what gets us past? What gets us past our past? I got to believe that God has something better. I got to believe that God doesn't want me to stay here stagnating. I got to believe that God wants me to flourish rather than languish. Right? That I have to believe that God's given me a chance. Well, you don't understand. I don't deserve it. Listen, who deserves it? Don't raise your hand. Who deserves God's blessing? Who deserves God's grace? Who deserves God's favor? None of us deserve it. So none of us are none of us are deserving. But here's the great thing about God. He blesses us anyway. Whether you deserve it or not, but you have to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, you'll continue to castigate yourself and punish yourself. And it's a self-imposed judgment that God says, that's not me, that's you. Because I want better things for you. Even though your failure might have happened last night. Right? So we need courage, right? And so... We need to add courage to our faith. And then part of the courage is that I need to forget the past. Here's the third component of what are we talking about? We're talking about growing our faith. The third component of growing our faith, I have to be led by the Spirit. Man, you know, we are, at least we announce it this way, we're a Spirit-filled church. We're a Spirit-led church. We still believe in the miraculous. We still believe in an experience with the living God is an experience that's worth pursuing. We still believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives can be changed, lives can be transformed. Do we still believe that? Right. And so look at what happens here. Joshua chapter 3, we're still in chapter 3, look at verse 6. It says, early in the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. Okay, moment of truth is coming. their very first challenge. They have a Jordan River. It says that they started out, they went ahead of the people. It says in verse 11, it says, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. The Jordan was a great challenge to them because we're going to read in a few moments that it was during the season where it's overflowing. You don't want to get into a river at its flood stage, right? So they needed something to happen. They didn't have the heavy machinery. They didn't have the capacity to build a bridge, nor the time, mind you, to build the bridge. They're about to start taking ownership of the land that God gave them. And so now, what was Joshua's strategy by the Spirit of God? Send the Ark of the Covenant first. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a piece of furniture that they had in the tabernacle. It was represented the holiest place within the tabernacle. Only priests were allowed to carry it, and they weren't even allowed to touch it. They could only carry it on poles, right? But that Ark, that piece of furniture with two gold angels overlooking each other, called the mercy seat. Okay, that Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. That's why in some parts in the Bible, it refers to it as the Ark of His Presence. Right, because that's where the glory of God, when the high priest went into the tabernacle and he went to the innermost, most sacred place in that tabernacle where this piece of furniture was, there was this intense glory of God revealed within that, right? Within that little room. Why? Because it's the Ark of God's presence. So catch this with me. Stay with me. Because here's what God's saying. You're going to conquer the land, but the Spirit needs to go before you. Put the Ark first. Put the presence of God first. Let that be what guides you. And if you let the Spirit guide you, then the Spirit is going to be responsible to give you the power that you need. So what does this say to us? I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God, right? You know, listen, when you become a believer, you accept the forgiveness of your sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, what happens? Immediately, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. But it doesn't mean that you're filled with the Spirit. If you look at the book of Acts, they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit after Pentecost, a long time after. 10 days after the ascension of Christ, which happened 40 days after the resurrection of Christ, right? And so they were praying. You wait. Why? Because when you receive power, it says, when you receive the Holy, you're going to receive power. Ooh. We're talking about something different than Joshua experienced. Joshua didn't have that, but he had the insight and the revelation that I can't do it without God's presence. Some of you are trying to fight this battle that you're in this world. You're trying to fight this battle to overcome temptations and overcome addictions and overcome, idiosyncrasies in your life and baggage and neurosis. And you're trying to do it with all the psychology and all the pop sociology. And you're trying to, listen, if you would just let the Spirit of God fill you, if you would just let the Holy Spirit of God get a hold of you, you would be able to eliminate such a great majority of those problems. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive what? Power. In fact, you may not know, but in the New Testament, that word for power is a Greek word, dunamis, from which we get dynamite. God is saying, you're going to get dynamite. Look at the person and say, you need dynamite. Dynamite. We need dynamite. Yeah. But not the one that we get from that little firecracker, fireworks place. Okay. We need Holy Ghost dynamite, right? And so they were led, they were led by the Spirit. Okay. That was the third thing that's something that completely will strengthen your faith. As I receive the Spirit, I receive power. And I want you to know something, that the way that they received the Holy Spirit back in the book of Acts, it says in Acts 2:39, it says, the promise is for you and for your children, Peter said. And for those that are far off, as many as the Lord will call to himself. So that promise, listen, that's not just a promise that was for an isolated generation in the book of Acts. Okay, that promise is for you and for me. I want it too. I need it too. Okay, so now watch with me in Joshua chapter 3. Yeah, you might offend. Hopefully you didn't offend a visitor. Look at verse 11. It says, and look, the ark of the covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River, Joshua says, and jump down to 13. It says, the priest will carry the ark of the Lord, the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp. It says, and then the ark of the covenant went ahead of them, jump to 15, and it was harvest season, and the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. The riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near to the town of Jericho. We'll talk about Jericho next week. Don't miss it. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. And they waited there until the whole nation of Israel crossed on the Jordan on dry ground. Pow! Dynamite! Dunamis! Holy Ghost miracle! God's presence made a way. And in the same way God's presence made a way for them, the Holy Ghost will make a way for you. Holy Ghost will grow you in your faith, right? And so here's the last couple of things. We're going to finish these up quickly. It says, the other thing that God says to Joshua that's going to help him grow in his faith, okay, you got to do things God's way. This is not Burger King. You can't do it your way. Right? You got to do things God's way. What did God say to Joshua? He said, be strong, be courageous. Here's the one we don't like to look at. The next one, be obedient. Be obedient. Be obedient. Okay, verse 7, look at verse 7, look at verse 8. Continually, he says, obey the law, the laws that Moses gave you. Okay, don't turn away from them. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on them day and night. You'll be successful in everything you do. Only then you will succeed. Right? So what is God saying to us? What God's saying to us is that I have to give room in my life to become obedient to the Word of God. I need to let the Word of God speak to me about how to respond in whatever situation I'm in. So it's not what they tell you by the water cooler. It's not what your classmates say outside of class, okay, that you should do. Your first priority should be, I want to do what God tells me I should do. So when somebody talks bad about you, how do you handle that? Go to the Word of God. So when somebody abuses you and takes advantage of you, okay, how do I deal with that? Okay, you got to go to the Word of God. When someone disrespects you, how do I handle that? You got to go to the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. You know what that presupposes? That presupposes you got to read it. That presupposes you got to hear it. That presupposes, okay, that you have to have time thinking about it, how it applies. Listen, did you eat this morning? Maybe not. But you're going to eat this afternoon, aren't you? I am. I'm hungry already. Okay, and you eat, some of you eat 2 times a day, 3 times a day. Like me, 7 times a day, because 7 is God's number. Amen. Oh, I got an amen back. The biggest amen I ever heard. Okay. Amen. And so listen, you would never think of going without a whole day without eating. And yet we think about going to church and church being the only place where there's an intake of God's word. And then you put your Bible away and you close it and you don't read it until next week. Let me tell you, you are not flourishing. You are languishing. Because you need to get the Word of God in you to stimulate your faith, but not just in you. You need to obey what it says and apply it to the different areas in your life. And look at what God says. When you apply it to the different areas of your life, look at what he says in verse 7 and verse 8. You then will be successful in everything you do. I want to be successful. Look at the person next to you and say, I want to be successful too. How do you do it? Obey the Word. And then here's part that I love. I know I've gone beyond my time, but look at this. The last point, you got to remember God's promises, right? Because The life of satisfaction. What are we talking about? Living in the promised land, stimulating your faith. Okay, the life of satisfaction is not something that is not a manufactured fantasy. Okay, it's not a man-made dream, right? It's part of God's plan for everyone that lives within his kingdom. And when God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, you know, he gave Joshua assurances of what he would do. Do you know today that God has given us assurances? Right? Do you know that sometimes we bless people, and we around here we call it the five P's. The five P's of God's blessing, right? Where do we get the five P's from? We get them right here from this story, okay? Look at verse 3, okay? Verse 3, God says to going back to chapter 1, verse 3 says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Everything, okay, everywhere you go, okay, you will be on land that I have given you. What's the first P? Prosperity. What's the second P? Second P says, no one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live. Okay, what did God assure Joshua of? He assured him of his protection. Five P's. Okay, prosperity, protection. Here's the next one. Joshua was assured of God's power. He says, the same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Power. Third P. Fourth P, okay, God's peace. Okay, he says, I will not fail you. So what happens if you know that God will never, ever, ever fail you? Oh, I can rest. I have no anxiety. I have no worry. I have peace, right? That's the fourth P. And look at the fifth P. The fifth P is he assured Joshua of his presence. I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. Okay, the five P's of prosperity, protection, power, peace, presence. All those are part of what God is saying. All those are the things that I'm going to give you as an assurance for you to keep moving forward. No reason for you to stay where you are. No reason for you to stagnate in your faith. You can continue to grow in your faith. And we grow in our faith with courage, right? We just talked about that, right? Courage. Got to forget our past, right? Got to be led by the Spirit. Got to give heed to the Word of God. Got to remember God's promises. Let me pray with you guys.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.